Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Matt Ryan, what do you think he's thinking about right now?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
But the major thing is the Indianapolis Colts now have a new starting quarterback.
I unfortunately think it's unfair to Matt because, A, I don't think he was playing so bad that it was benchable.
Earlier on the show, Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. Still to come, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan. Pro Football Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins, New York Times best-selling author Jeff Pearlman, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We're chatting with Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks. The New York Giants have made a trade. They traded away their first-round draft selection from 2021, the wide receiver Kadarius Toney. Just when you thought the Giants needed him to get back on the field and use his all-world, as it appears, when he's healthy, talent, they trade him to Kansas City on a bye week. So the trade deadline is Tuesday, and that's an interesting backstop to the week eight that begins tonight. It's if a team wins and you feel like you've got a shot this week, maybe you hold on to somebody. If you lose and you figure out, I got to start providing for the future, you trade the guy away. Or it doesn't matter if you win or lose, you're still trading the guy away, just like the Bears just did. With Robert Quinn, and we will hit that in that conversation and that trade with Brian Dawkins, the Hall of Fame defensive back from mostly the Eagles. Obviously, Broncos fans will also claim him.
I have nightmares about him.
I'm sure you do. B-Doc is on this program in the middle of this hour. Jeff Pearlman, the author of this tremendous new book that I am in the middle of reading, The Last Folk Hero of the Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. He's coming in here in studio. He's also the guy who brought us Winning Time. Not one, but two books on the Lakers, who are 0-4 to start the season. We'll hit that in this hour and also with Jeff when he joins us. But right now, we get set for the World Series. And also, as a backdrop to this World Series, the team that did not make it, the New York Yankees, got swept by the American League champion Houston Astros, who host the Philadelphia Phillies tomorrow night in Game 1. And joining us on the way to Houston is a man. Who, well, he wrecked my club with this piece that came out yesterday because he followed Aaron Judge around throughout the home run chase in September. And he also had some thoughts on the upcoming free agency of the man who just set the American League record for single season in home runs. And that Aaron Judge piece is available on ESPN Plus. Joining us from, I guess, an airport on the way to the World Series, from ESPN MLB insider on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, our friend Jeff Passan. How you doing, Jeff?
I am dandy, Rich. How are you?
Okay, great. So when you called in from Toronto and you're talking about Aaron Judge's historic home run, I had no idea you were following him around. No clue.
Yeah,
Look at you.
I was chasing him a little. Kind of creepy, you know.
So there were a couple chases going on. One of Maris and you of him. So what did you glean from your hanging out or being around Aaron Judge during that time, Jeff?
You know, I think he's still a mystery to a lot of people, and nobody in the Yankees organization really has a great sense of what he's going to do, which honestly is about the best position that you can put yourself in when it comes to free agency. Now, maybe that changes when you put your expectations out there, and maybe you want a number that is so astronomical that it's laughable and that there's festering ill will that the organization may not know about. Or that there are, you know, hard feelings still from the contract offer that came back in April. But I think in the end, what Aaron Judge understands is that the cost and the pain of paying him what he is going to want is less than the pain of losing him.
There's no question.
And And when you look at it that way, the Yankees are in a bit of a damned if they do, damned if they don't. But if they don't, they're a lot more damned.
Well, the question is will he give them the chance to be damned either way? That the idea around him being such a mystery is that maybe deep down he harbors a desire to go back to California and play for the Giants, and it won't even matter how much money the Yankees throw at him, especially since, Jeff, your quote that you put in your piece that certainly caught my eye was surrounding the moment when Brian Cashman let loose the details of the contract that Judge turned down. And you quoted him telling Anthony Rizzo, a teammate who talked about it with him afterwards, quote, "You don't think I'm worth more?" End quote. So what about that possibility?
That was a great story. That was a great story, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, you had me at hello with that one. That literally caused me to text you in the middle of my show to say I need you on my show tomorrow. That's exactly what happened. So
yeah, I think that is natural for any high achieving person, right? You want to know that your contributions are appreciated. You want to feel loved. And I think for the most part, Aaron Judge feels pretty loved as a Yankee. He understands that if he's not performing, there are certain standards that the fans have. And those standards do not change over time. Derek Jeter got booed. And Derek Jeter is the most unimpeachable Yankee, you know, since what, the 50s? Like since Mickey Mantle? Since Yogi Berra? I mean, he is everything to that organization, and fans still boo him. So I don't think that getting booed necessarily bothers him. I think he understands that there are many benefits to being a New York Yankee and that the detriments that you have are outweighed by those benefits. But this is a value proposition, Rich. You add up all of that great stuff that being a Yankee is, along with the bad stuff. And you add up the great stuff that comes with, if you're a Dodger, being on an extremely successful team, and if you're a Giant, being on a team that's got a ton of money to spend and is an hour and a half from the small town you grew up in, and a Met and a Padre, or a Mariner. You can look at all these different places, and in the end, I really do wonder, is money going to be the tiebreaker, because money connotes value, right? Money says, this is how much we value you. We can say it all we want with our words, but we're going to show you instead of tell you.
Okay, so it's going to come down to who pays him the most, is what you're saying, or that's your general sense of it?
I don't know if it's going to come down to that, because I think there's certainly scenarios, Rich, in which he finds comfort in a place or with a team that may not be willing to pay him the most. But I think that to discount money as being an enormous factor here would just be ignoring human nature and ignoring the idea of achievement and wanting people to recognize that achievement in as many ways as they can, including the most tangible, which is how am I going to compensate you for your achievement.
So what do you think the timeline is on this once the World Series is over? Or has it started? Have the Yankees already reached out to him, or the Yankees are still trying to figure out who's doing the reaching out?
I'll be honest, I don't have a great sense on the timeline at this point. You know, I look in the past at big free agencies. I look at Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. They didn't sign till February. I look at Corey Seager. He signed in November. The market has not established itself at this point yet. I could see him wanting to get something done quickly, because Aaron Judge is a very process-oriented guy and somebody who's pretty meticulous in his routine, and wanting to get that established earlier rather than later is always a good thing. But there's also a scenario in which the market is not what he's looking for, and he runs the risk and is willing to absorb the risk of letting it play out in hopes of getting what he thinks is right and fair.
So what are your thoughts on the market? Mets, Red Sox, Dodgers, will they be involved, do you think, in this?
I don't know that the Mets are going to be involved. That's not clear at this point. I do think the Dodgers will be involved, and I think a lot of the Red Sox depends on what happens with Rafael Devers, because I don't see them extending Rafael Devers and signing Aaron Judge. So if a Devers contract comes through, then I think they're probably out of the running for Judge. But if one doesn't, then they'd be foolish not to at least inquire and see if they can sell him on going to Boston. Because you want to talk about a coup. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine Aaron Judge with the Red Sox?
Well, I mean, you would be derelict of duty if you represent Aaron Judge and don't get the Red Sox involved and in the most public manner possible. I mean, that would be honestly what is that, straight out of the Scott Boras playbook? I mean, so, you know, put it all together, it's going to be a monster story in baseball, certainly because it involves Judge, the Yankees. And then also Jeff Passan here on the Rich Eisen Show. Part of the reason why I wanted to talk Judge with you is not only your remarkable piece with ESPN Plus, ESPN.com, and so much more, is the fact that the Yankees got swept by the American League champion Houston Astros. And one would think that in order for the Yankees to finally get past the team that Bob Costas called the Yankees daddy, I mean, even Costas is getting in on that sort of language, right? So you'd have to have Judge there. You'd have to, right? I mean, and so my sense is, like, how does the ALCS inform Judge and the Yankees and how they can put together a team to get past Houston for a change, you think?
You know, this is where it gets kind of problematic for the Yankees, right? They have not shown a willingness to go payroll-wise where they have gone in the past into the extremely high 200s. And I 3 years ago, I would have bet every dollar I had that if a team was going to exceed $300 million, it was going to be either the Yankees or the Dodgers, and here it's the Mets. So, not only are the Yankees being outspent these days, they're being outspent by the other team in their city. So, when you look at what their payroll commitments are for the future, it's around $200 million for next year. And boy, oh boy, $200 million, you add another 40 for Judge, and then you got to add a whole lot more on top of that because the team you put together, frankly, just isn't good enough. It's not good enough to beat the Astros. You can make an argument that it might not have been good enough to beat the Mariners. Which is a wild thing to say, but I was talking with Lance McCullers after the Astros won the ALCS in a pretty stunning sweep again. Well, no, it's not stunning. Convincing sweep against the Yankees, and he was talking about how he thought nobody else would have beaten Seattle. And maybe that's just the Astros' way of pumping themselves up, but I think in a series between Seattle and the Yankees, it certainly is not going definitively in the Yankees' favor. I mean, Cleveland took them to five games, and I think Seattle was a markedly better team, especially for the playoffs, than Cleveland.
Well, you just named many teams, all of them, who put the ball in play more than the Yankees. Yeah, I mean, they are like that proverbial basketball team that shoots threes to win. That they can win a lot, and they can blow you out, and they can come from behind. But if the shots aren't dropping, they lose. And that's about it for the Yankees. Like, if the ball's not leaving the yard, they lose, period. End of story. Yep. And when you go against teams like the Astros or Guardians or if they did have to face the Mariners, there are some good pitchers. Everybody comes out throwing 100 out of the pen now. They'll strike you out. So that's it in this day and age.
Yeah. I mean, listen, let's not discount that the Yankees this year lost Michael King, lost Chad Green, lost Scott Efros. Those are three really good bullpen arms, and that their bullpen was as thin as it was in the playoffs, in large part due to those injuries. That they didn't have DJ LeMahieu, that they didn't have Andrew Benintendi, two guys who would have been part of that everyday lineup and strengthened it. That being said, if you put those five guys back on the New York Yankees, I still don't think they beat the Astros.
I agree.
Maybe it's a more competitive. Maybe it's a more competitive series at that point, but they're not better than the Astros.
I would agree.
They really have to think about what they want to be. And part of me wonders, like, this is, you know, I'm thinking three steps ahead here.
Yep.
But if Aaron Judge leaves, does that force the Yankees to go out and give up everything they can to get Shohei Ohtani for 1 year?
How about both? Can I get both? Can I get both? Can I get re-signing Judge and they give up everything they want for Ohtani? And then that's the one of the ways that they do this. And maybe they get some players like the Guardians have. Get some guy like Steve Kwan to bat off, lead off on a team like this. You know what I mean? Like get guys who get on base and don't strike out and see what happens after that. And don't trade for Josh Donaldson and IKF and try and get your own Jeremy Peña. I mean, look, I could go on and on about the Yankees, and in the couple minutes I have left with you, Jeff Passan, I'd be remiss. You know, certainly there might be some Phillies and Astros fans screaming at their radio or at their Roku saying, what about the World Series? So
what about the freaking World Series? Come on, man.
Go for it. I give you the floor. How do you see this playing out, Jeff?
The Houston Astros are one of the best teams. I've been doing this 20 years now. They're one of the best teams I've ever seen at preventing runs. It's a weird way to look at things, right? We normally talk about it through pitching or through fielding. No, the Astros are just a run prevention machine. And in the playoffs, they haven't hit all that well, frankly, but they've hit enough. And what really impresses me about them is, you know, we talk about playoff experience, and part of me wants to discount it, right? Because these are all professional athletes. These are all guys who have climbed the ladder wherever they've been, whether it's in high school and college, whether it's among fierce competition down in the Dominican Republic and Venezuela, whether it's in Japan, whatever it is, they are all incredible competitors. But there's just a certain calmness that the Astros have in close games. And it's a rational confidence. You know, we have those irrational confidence guys who think they're better than they are and go and do wild things and chuck up 30-foot, like, heat checks. No, the Astros' confidence is completely rational because they know that they're really damn good. They've been here. They've done this. And it's almost like walking for them. It's almost like breathing for them. They succeed without thinking about it. The Phillies, on the other hand, you know, this is Bryce Harper's first time in a World Series. This is Reese Hoskins' first time in a World Series. JT Realmuto's first time in a World Series. Aaron Nola's first time in a World Series. Zach Wheeler's first time in a World Series. We can go on and on about the incredible litany of players, top-end talent, that the Philadelphia Phillies have. Listen, I buy into the idea that there are teams of destiny. I don't mean it like it's preordained that this team's going to come out of nowhere. To me, a team of destiny is a team that gets hot as can be and just ride that wave. And I never like betting against teams like that because it feels like they just have this snowball that's been rolling down a mountain and is an avalanche, and it's going to be impossible to stop.
All right, so crystal ball it. What do you got? Crystal ball it. What do you got for me?
The Astros are that giant torch that will melt the snowball. And I've got them in six.
Okay.
Listen, I can equivocate here by saying I see a path for the Phillies to win, and I do. I think they need to score early in games and really try and wear out that deep bullpen. I think they need to win three out of the four starts made by Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. And I think they need to significantly limit defensive miscues because that is an area in which they struggle. If they can do all those things, they can beat the Astros. But I think I think the odds makers have it right. The Astros are pretty strong favorites at this point because whether it's through the 106 win regular season or their fourth World Series in the last 6 years after six consecutive American League championships, like ALCS appearances, they've earned the right to get the respect that they have.
Jeff Passan, appreciate the time. Let's talk after the series and when the hot stove begins heating up. Really appreciate it, brother. Travel safe.
Thanks, Rich. Great talking with you.
Right back at you. At Jeff Passan on Twitter. Follow him. He's a must-follow. And obviously check out his story on Aaron Judge, which is the biggest story in baseball once the World Series is over, along with what might happen with Ohtani, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. And meanwhile, back at the football ranch in Philadelphia, the Eagles made a big trade yesterday. And when it's all said and done by the trade deadline on Tuesday, this may be the biggest trade that's made in the NFL in 2022, quite frankly. Even though the Giants and Chiefs just made an interesting one moments ago. We'll discuss that. Brian Dawkins of the Eagles will chime in on Robert Quinn being a new member of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's next. Your phone calls as well at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. NetSuite wants you to know your numbers. If you're running a business, why don't you know your numbers? Why don't you know your numbers?
I know my numbers.
You should know your numbers because in this day and age, one thing is certain. You need to know your numbers. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle. It's only the number one cloud financial system. And NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting. You can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. And right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. We've seen two trades in the NFL this year with the trade deadline coming on Tuesday that one would think will have a lasting effect and also have shown how it's kind of a copycat league. Mm-hmm. Kind of a copycat league, not just when X's and O's work, but if it works in the front office. If it works in the front office. Now, not everything's repeatable. For instance, the Bucks pushed the button on Brady. That worked. Rams pushed the button on Stafford. That worked. How many times have the Colts tried to push the button on a one-shot veteran quarterback deal?
Yeah, a few.
Multiple times, didn't work.
Over.
Hasn't worked. Can't say it won't work. It's worked. And then another way of doing business is to just F all them picks, right? That's the whole concept of less need. Draft picks, we don't need no stinking draft picks, even though he does keep some, one would think, for second and third days, and we've seen that work out. So the 49ers are like, we don't have a first-round pick next year. So let's just trade away second, third, and fourth-round picks next year, too. Let's get Christian McCaffrey and prevent him from going to the Rams, which is prepared that to was, F more picks.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it. So you've seen that as a copycat. Another copycat is what the Rams did last year in effing the picks. or a pick. They went and they got Von Miller for their defensive line.
Ooh.
And at the time, I'll be honest, did anybody sit around and think, you know what the Rams need is more pass rush with Aaron Donald up front? You know what they need? They need more pass rush. And I guess it's one of those things where can't have enough pass rush. Can't have enough pass rush. And we saw Von Miller eventually work his way into that mix for the Rams and prove to be a highly valuable commodity in making their run to the Super Bowl and winning it with Matthew Stafford in his first shot with the Rams. So what did we see yesterday? First thing I thought of was that Von Miller trade. When you saw a team at 6-0 already with Brandon Graham balling out and Jordan Davis and Fletcher Cox on that defensive line and the defense is balling out in Philadelphia, what did they do? More pass rush. And they got a guy who had 18 and a half sacks last year. They flipped a 4 for Robert Quinn. And add him to the defensive line. And now he's coming to this team with the Philadelphia Eagles coming off of a bye week as the lone remaining undefeated team in the NFL. I love this move. Fourth round pick, bring in Robert Quinn, and the Bears paying $7 million of his salary, which I imagine upped the draft choice that they received from Philadelphia. They're paying most of his salary. So Philly's getting him on like a veteran minimum. All it is a fourth round pick. And I made sure I made a note of this. So I bookmarked it yesterday. So let me get this right. Even after that trade and also AJ Brown, right? And also Jordan Davis trading to go get him and get a better draft pick on draft day. Eagles still have six picks in next year's draft, including two in the first round. Theirs and the New Orleans Saints. And the New Orleans Saints one currently is fourth overall. Howie Roseman, holy crap. What a move. They still have six next year. Two firsts, including a top five, and they're 6-0. And they just added Robert Quinn for hardly a dollar and a cent. And all it is just a fourth round pick. Holy cow. That's the way you win championships. That's the way you're aggressive. Well done. And I'm sure everyone in Philadelphia getting ready for the World Series is like, this is the way it goes around these parts now. We won't talk about what happened in Toronto last night on the hardwood. We'll leave that for another time.
It's a long season,
look,
man.
All I'm saying is what a hell of a move and a hell of a time in Philadelphia right now. And joining us from Philly on the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line is a Hall of Famer who knows all about trying to win championships in Philadelphia. He's none other than the great Brian Dawkins. How you doing, Brian?
I'm absolutely blessed, brother. Absolutely blessed.
I know you are, and I love chatting with you. Let's just jump right into it. And the acquisition of Robert Quinn by the Eagles means what for you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Depth. Number one, depth.
Mm-hmm.
Rotation depth, right? Another playmaker at the defensive position. So another game changer, not just a playmaker, but a game changer. And then me, because I love it, is competition in the room. And the more competition in the room, the better results you'll get from the room. And I love that. I love that they're bringing this individual in to now challenge BG to see who can get the most sacks or challenge. You see what I'm saying? Like that for me in a room, when you have that healthy competition, it really brings out the best in your team.
And, you know, the general sense I have, similar to what many in the media are saying, is this is reminiscent of the Rams acquiring Von Miller last year. And we saw what happened there. Do you think there are similar DNA in that move and this move, Brian?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same thing, that they're kind of pushing, I won't say all the chips to the middle of the table, but like they're in. They're all in into making this run this year and seeing if that depth and the offensive line, the way that they're playing, the growth in Jalen Hurts and the additions at the receiver position, all of those things, to see if this is the year that the Eagles bring something back this way.
Well, I mean, you know what a championship team in that town looks like. Do you think this is one, Brian?
Listen, for me,
mm-hmm.
Can they win the next game? That'll always be the way that I look.
That's not the way it works, Brian.
That's
maybe in the world of football players.
That's how my mind works. Because I understand once you start looking too far ahead and start looking at the schedule, hey, we can beat that team, you can beat that team. Yeah, now you've lost some focus on the team that you're about to play, and you're probably going to lose.
Well, I mean, the way I see it, because I'm not allowed to do the game-by-game stuff, certainly sitting in a chair like this, doing a show like this, is it looks to me that Jalen Hurts has become the rock star that everybody thought that, you know, or hoped that he could be. Not a lot of people thought that he would be on par with, say, Lamar Jackson, right? So quickly in his tenure right now, on par with a superb quarterback like Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow, right? I mean, there are MVP talks for him, and rightfully so here. And I feel like he's got that mindset that you just mentioned too, to go in that locker room and say we're not anywhere where we need to be yet, and lead on that front, and then walk it on the field or run it, right? Throw it.
Absolutely. And for me, that was one of the things that when I first started hearing about the Eagles picking up Jalen Hurts, and I kind of looked back over his story. Mm-hmm. Even before he touched the field, I was impressed by the way he handled himself in college. Very impressed by the ability for him to stay the type of teammate that he was in Alabama, even though he, you know, somebody replaced him, to then go to another team, Oklahoma, to have success, earn the right to be the quarterback, first of all, and then have the success there to be second in the race for the Heisman. And then you come to the Philadelphia Eagles and go right into a competition with Carson Wentz. But the whole time, he keeps saying the right thing. Keeps saying not just the right thing, but things that are personable to him in a way that makes sense to him. And he constantly does get better. So each one of those instances I just mentioned, he kept getting better. So to me, that tells me that he's a mentally tough dude that can focus on the things that needs to be focused on, get rid of the negative things, and get better at the things that he sees that he needs to get better in. And he's done that even this year. His deep ball has improved. His accuracy has improved. His anticipation has improved. All of the things that were knocks on him last year, he's improved those things. So that, again, that means that you have a mentally tough young man that looks to improve.
Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we'll get to the health conversation that you're here to have, courtesy of Novo Nordisk, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. But I do, in the couple minutes I have with you left, I don't know how locked in you are and what Aaron Rodgers has been saying about his situation in Green Bay, but he was talking about the mistakes that are being made on the field, about 20% of mistakes on the field, talking about players need to maybe hold themselves more accountable and potentially play guys who are waiting in the wings and sitting down guys who are not performing very well, and sort of the waves that have been caused by him being so honest in assessment of his teammates and a little bit of himself as well. What do you think about those comments, Brian Dawkins?
So the first thing, that I have not heard any of that, so I can't speak too much on that.
Yep.
The first part of what you just said, the last part of what you said, should have been the first part of what you said, meaning that you said a little bit of accountability for himself. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just using your words.
Yes, sir.
So for me, I'm major accountability first, me, and then we can speak about my teammates. That's just the way that I handle it. I'm not, again, I don't know the conversation.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what he really meant by the things that he's meaning. But from my vantage point as a leader, I always wanted to call out the things that I was doing wrong first, and then we can talk about the things that we collectively need to do together. That's how I always try to do it.
And then I guess, yeah, he definitely holds himself accountable, but he is talking about the team as a whole on behalf of trying to win. I think that might have been a more artful way of saying it, Brian.
But again, there's just different ways of handling it. And I'm not saying how he's doing what he's doing is the wrong way to do it. I'm just saying it's not the way that I would have done it. I'm someone that likes to do things behind closed doors, and we can do things face to face, team like type stuff instead of media. I never did any messaging to any of my teammates other than to appreciate them, other than to congratulate them in the media. right? Everything that I wanted to have conversation around with my teammates, it was between me and them, and we would have a little small team setting or defensive setting, whatever the case, and then we can have some deeper conversations.
So tell me about Tackle Your Health. What do you want people to know about this program courtesy of Novo Nordisk? What do you want folks to know about here, Brian?
Yeah, first of all, I'm very appreciative of Novo Nordisk and the Eagles coming together and allowing me to be a part of this to kind of share my story. When it comes to tackling your health, and the first word that you see in there is tackle. So that means that there's something as a player that means that I'm preparing ahead of time to about the team that I'm about to face in order to tackle the person that I'm going to be going against that week. And so when I think about this subject matter of your health, that means that we need to do a better job of looking back in our past to see those individuals in our past that may have give you some red flags of by whether it be type 2 diabetes, whether it be obesity, or, you know, the consequences of cardiovascular disease, of understanding the importance of then having a game plan ahead of time before you get into any of those situations. And me personally, the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because my mom has diabetes and she's had a couple of strokes because of it. And so if we can do things on the front end to help people begin to do things differently, sometimes it's small things you do in your life, small adjustments, and the way that I say that is small hinges swing big doors. So sometimes you make a small adjustment in your life and how you're doing things, and all of a sudden your health benefits, your mental clarity benefits, everything begins to benefit because you make a small adjustment. And those small adjustments oftentimes can come from those health professionals that can give you that game plan. And so, you know, I believe that we need to do a better job of looking out for ourselves, because ultimately, you know, we want to be around. I want to be around for my great grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hopefully be around for my great great grandkids if I can. And the only way that I can have that is by me doing what I'm doing right now. I have a plan for my life. I get blood drawn. I get my levels checked on a consistent basis, so that I can make sure that I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, you know, movement-wise, exercise, hydration, all of those things, so that I can be around. I can be around.
Love it, man. PhiladelphiaEagles.com/tackle-your-health for more, and get a simple 5-question assessment to figure out what your plan is. Brian, I appreciate the time. Always love connecting with you. Let's do this more often, and I appreciate your sense of the Philadelphia Eagles taking it one game at a time and remaining undefeated. Did I get that right?
Appreciate you, brother.
Did I get that right at the very end?
You did.
Okay, very good. Take care of yourself, Brian Dawkins. You be well.
All right, Rich. You blessed, brother.
You're right back at you. At Brian Dawkins on Twitter, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I think he missed the tweak at the end there.
I think so, too.
B-Doc only knows one speed.
Yeah, he's locked in.
Okay, when we come back, what's up with the Lakers? Lakers 0-4. We got some Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Yeah, we do.
Plural.
Yeah, we do.
We do. Bill speaking about his quarterbacks. Plural. Or maybe there's only one. That's coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Zappy Days.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First.
Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. So, I'll be honest, man. I'm shooting you straight, man. I watched the Lakers and the Nuggets last night. Part of the reason is I had two Nuggets going against TJ Jefferson's TBD, the Basketball Diaries, back-to-back Giannis. I had Jokic, and I picked up KCP.
Nice. Okay. Former Laker.
Who shouldn't be a former Laker.
No, they need him.
I'm watching this Laker team. Russ is out,
So you can't blame him. I mean, although you can blame him. He's not playing. You should be playing. And when he's playing, you don't be shooting. And when he's shooting, you know, you should be passing. And when he's passing, you should be benched. It's just the guy can't he's win. Playing for everything right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at ESPN, that's the guy that they think he should be traded. And for what? Who do you think is coming back? Who do you think is going to walk through the door? And I'm watching the Lakers, and I'm thinking to myself, who the hell are these people playing with LeBron and Anthony Davis? Who are they? Who are they?
Whose man's is this?
I know they're NBA players, but seriously, like,
Lonnie Walker?
This is all you came up with in the offseason? This is your answer? That's what I'm thinking of. It's like you had all this time. You had all this time to get ready for the test. And this is what you got? I'm wondering what LeBron's thinking. He's 0-4. They're 0-4.
Knock, knock.
And they're not anything close. Knock, knock meaning what?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Owen.
Owen who?
0-4.
Says the Clipper fan.
They're shooting something like 21% from three.
Oof.
For the season,
you got to figure that's going to change, unless my question is not a rhetorical one. Who are they playing? Who is he playing with? He was fine with this. He sat around all summer, or is he just tapped out?
Sorry, they're 22% three.
I'm serious. When I say tapped out, is it just like he likes where he's living? His next world is set up.
Or he's waiting for Bronny to get to the league so he can just play
but
wherever.
But it doesn't matter to him that his best result might be the play-in?
Well, I would think they'll be very lucky if they make the play-in.
I could not be more serious, and I never thought this about LeBron. Is he just content?
Probably not.
He can't be.
He signed off on the Westbrook deal. They said, we'll make it work.
Is it true Westbrook bought a spot across the street from him?
I saw that, yeah. Across the street.
Are we now getting our NBA news from Zillow? Is there a Woj bomb on Zillow?
Zillow bomb.
Like, is there a Woj for Zillow?
Yes, there's some great Instagram houses.
A Zill bomb?
The dirt's good. Yeah. Just add houses on Instagram. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look. I'm taking great joy in it. I'm making money off of this.
How much have you made now? I need.
So, like I said, I'm only betting Larry Bird bets, but I'm up $72.
Okay.
Four games.
Very good. Very, very good.
And by the way, I was looking at their schedule. Like from now until the end of November, like there's really only about five winnable games. Like
I don't know. They just got to shoot better, and I don't know, but doesn't seem like the answer to their problem is. More reps with Russ because they only had a quarter of the season last year, had the three big three healthy at the same time.
But just look at their roster. Who would be a rotational guy on any other team?
LeBron got hammered with a no call. He got hammered no call last night. Darvin Ham walked onto the floor to argue with
like
the refs.
Begging to get ejected.
He walked onto the floor.
Yeah.
Got teed up. By the way, the refs waited for the Nuggets to complete their wide open transition layup first. Man, I'm serious. Who are these guys? Now then, this is good stuff. Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment. And again, bless this man. Supposedly doesn't want to give you any information and has the reputation of not wanting to talk to the media. He talks to the media more than any NFL head coach, yep. I believe, bar none. So, Mac Jones, Bill Belichick says, was able to take the full complement of snaps. He's fully loaded and ready to go for Sunday, he said. So the media wanted to hear the words, Mac is the starter, out of his mouth, and he just won't
just say it.
Do it. That's today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
So that's the plan for him to start Sunday?
That's what I just said. He's going to have a full load. Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know fully available. Sometimes you need to spell it out for me. When it comes to the plans moving forward, I mean, is he able
That's where we're at, okay? So, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want to go through a lot of hypotheticals, you know. That's not where we're at. We're getting ready for the Jets. That's where we're at, period.
So you can't say for the
I can't give, no, like, you're going to give me a bunch of hypothetical situations, and I don't know what those hypotheticals are, so we're not going to get into that.
So try not to ask hypothetical. But is it?
It's hypothetical. Like, here we are today, we're practicing for the Jets. It's Thursday, getting ready for the Jets. Like, that's where we are. So anything that happens beyond that, I mean, it's not current. I'm going to get into it. As helpful as I can be. I mean, come on, man.
Wait. There's more. Because now he won't say who's the starter moving forward.
Right.
They, bless the hardworking press in that room, tried to use the why Max now to see if we can find out if it's Mac later. Is it Mac now because he's healthy enough now, whereas he couldn't have gone the full game last week? Or is it Zappi's Monday night performance after getting those touchdowns? Roll tape.
Bill, is the decision to make Mac the quarterback for Sunday, is that fully related to Mac's health?
Yeah, he's ready to play. He was ready to play last week, just didn't feel as the full game. This week is a different situation. And that's it. We'll take it from there.
I guess was curious, did Bailey's play on that's Sunday it. Have anything to do with
it? No, okay. That's it.
So it's
we'll take it from here. Okay. Take it from here. Don't keep trying to trap me into stuff down the future, because I can't. Like, today's today.
Yeah, I'm not trying to trap you. I'm just wondering about the decision-making process, because, you know, Bailey played well for two games, and he played a lot the other night. So just curious if he performed on Monday had anything to do with the decision.
Yeah, no, we started the game the way we wanted to start it last week, and we talked about the way it ended up. So this week's a different week, different situation. Mac will be a quarterback.
We'll be our quarterback, but just against the Jets.
Right.
Jeff Perlman's coming up. I'm wondering who's going to crack first.
Well, it ain't going to be Bill.
I don't think so.
He's not cracking.
Iron wall.
But why won't Bill just say Mac's our guy moving forward?
Because he needs to see it.
No, he doesn't have to do these,
to
right?
See.
No.
So these press conferences?
Yeah.
No.
So he
I don't
one, right?
think so.
Secretly,
no,
I think he enjoys this, right?
He has likes to the enjoy back and forth. This. Yeah, of course.
It's amazing.
He has to do
no,
one.
No, no. Well, I
thought.
Listen, LaFleur did his yesterday.
Yeah.
Tomlin does once a week. Belichick does multiple press conferences. Great. That's what TJ's saying. He doesn't have to
do
it.
Extras, the bonus.
So when I'm watching this, I'm thinking, all he's got to do is say, Max, our starting quarterback, we drafted him last year. But he won't do it. Is it just because he's obstinate?
That's what I'm saying. He just enjoys
these games. No, or is he doing it? And this is what lends the questioning to not. That's why the media won't break either. Media's not going to break either. Is he just needing to see more? He saw enough out of Zappi to say, kid needs some time. Throwing him in the middle of a game on a Monday night against the Bears when they're rolling might not be smart enough, but but why does Bill need to build in wiggle room? He'll just do whatever he wants to do anyway and not explain it. None of this makes sense, but the only thing I can definitely say is, man, is it entertaining.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Oh,
it's so good.
Hour three with Jeff Perlman coming up.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you, how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.